We'll call to order our technical advisory committee meeting, January 18th, 2024. We have quorum.
Yes, we do.
In your packet, you have the minutes for December 7th. There's a motion required.
I'm going to move.
McCleary.
Second move.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any nays? That's approved. Staff report. Attachment 3A, Curtis Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So if you look at attachment 3A, you can see we've spent about 28% of the budget through December. We're in very good shape. We are going to be getting started, and I don't know if Matt's going to talk about it at all, but our traffic signal inventory has just gone into contract. So we'll be getting in touch with a lot of you to get signal information and to possibly start collecting data so we can give you guys a better sense of how all of our signals talk to each other, et cetera. But with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Massey, second.
All in favor, aye.
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 Nays? All right, we'll move on to the technical progress report. Matt Stewart.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, everyone. So I'll be pretty brief today because I know we have a very full agenda. I did want to mention, most of you probably have seen a couple emails that we have our Connecting Communities program out right now. Applications are due February 9th. So that provides $40,000 for smaller, you know, transportation land use connectivity type studies focused on alternative modes of transportation. If you have any questions about that, speak with Heather after the meeting. Just wanted to welcome everyone here. I see a lot of new faces, so hopefully either after this meeting or sometime in the near future, we can meet up and talk a little bit about the community. So, the only other thing I wanted to mention was I'm pleased to report we have a new staff member. So you guys, many of you may know him already, but Matt Mullen comes to us from Metro RTA, where he was the grants and compliance specialist for about 6 years. So Matt was on their planning team, and we've been able to work with him on a few projects in this past year and have certainly heard a lot of good things about him in addition to what we observed. So I'm excited to have him on staff as a planner. So with that, any questions you have, I'd be happy to answer. Thank you.
Next on the agenda, the federal funds report, Amy Prater.
Thank you. So MF is about halfway through the fiscal year, but we still have about 80% of our funding that is still not been spent. The good news is that much of that is supposed to go in the third quarter, so we're really, really hoping that things start to move, so that we definitely spend all our money and nothing has to slip into the prepare to the next year. So that's about it. Any questions?
Thank you. Is there any old business?
There is none.
So we'll move into new business. Traffic crashes and safety performance measures. Matt Stewart. There will be a motion required.
Okay, thank you again. So since there are some new faces here, for those that don't know, AMATS each year does a crash report that looks at the three most recent years of all crashes within our region and analyzes and comes up with a ranking of high crash locations. So I'm pleased to be here kind of presenting this report for this year, which we recently completed. The report itself kind of follows the same format that you're used to. Section 2 is really the meat of the report, where we have our high crash list and some of the more important graphs and, you know, the other things that you might be most interested in. Did want to back up a little bit and talk to section one. This year we kind of just did an overview of, you know, the world of safety planning is changing, right? Like, we've seen it at the federal level, the state level, and certainly with AMETS. This past year, we got involved in the Safe Streets for All process. And so probably one of the questions many of you have is, you know, what we have these two processes now. Are they totally siloed? How do they work with each other? So we attempt to kind of go through that in the report. Just wanted to point out some of the key differences. We have the 5-year time frame of crashes and Safe Streets for All, but 3 years with the high crash list. We did talk about moving the high crash to 5 years, but for now we decided we kind of like the idea of having different time frames. But the biggest difference is that is what crashes are directly considered within the report. So if you're not aware, we basically have four main classifications of crashes, ranging from a property damage only, which is, you know, two cars hitting each other or a car hitting a guide rail or whatever, but there not being an injury, all the way up to a fatal crash. Safe Streets for All, we were focused purely on 3 and 4, our serious injuries and our fatalities. This report looks at all types of crashes, but then at least 30% of those crashes has to be in categories 2, 3, and 4, so some level of injury. So it just looks at safety a little bit differently. And then finally, both of these processes, if you're on the list or the high injury network, you're going to net a lot of points when it comes to project applications. But there are differences. We did make the decision last year with our TAP TIP to incentivize Safe Streets for All a little bit more so we could focus more on the fatal and serious injury crashes. But both are, you know, key, important things to consider in the safety process. And just on the subject, is just a, what I think is a very interesting aside. One of the things we analyzed was, you know, what kind of overlap is there between these two processes? I was quite surprised to find that there was a lot less overlap than I would have thought. And I think that just goes to show you there are a lot of different ways you can slice and dice crash data, and what kinds of crashes you focus on can really make that visible. So hopefully this kind of displays there are two different processes, but they each have their place. So let's dive in a little bit into some of the trends. So our fatal crashes did go down slightly this year, but they're still well above the old normal, what it used to be before the pandemic. Our serious injuries have been quite constant over the last 5 years, which is really surprising that they haven't done more of this, but they've been quite steady. Our total crashes are creeping upward. They grew a little over 3% this year. But those numbers are still significantly below where they were before 2020. And then likewise, you know, the trend lines for our, both our bicycle and pedestrian are kind of similar. They're going up, but up from that low that we had in 2020 when things were so atypical. Our bicycle crashes are kind of moving up more slowly, and you'll note are significantly down from where they were a decade ago. I like to think this is at least partially attributable to the fact that we have, you know, a lot more bicycle infrastructure built now than this region did a decade ago. But we are seeing kind of a troubling increase in pedestrian crashes. So as far as our process, I won't go into these details, but it is in section 2 of the report. You can read the bullet points up here. But the short version is it's a pretty arduous process, and any of our staff spends a lot of time during the year going through each of these crash reports, making sure that they're classified in the right way and that we know exactly what's going on at each crash location. And what Amy does through her process is she eventually groups projects or groups crashes into either roadway sections or intersections. And again, it's that 30% have to be those higher level crashes. Basically, what we're looking at is 9 crashes over the 3-year period, so an average of 3 per year for each of those. And then what kind of the final step of everything is getting together a composite score that takes the total number of crashes and its rank and then the rank of the percent of the more serious crashes. So the lower the number, the worse it is. So what everyone's very interested in always is, okay, what rose to the top? So our top two high crash sections, Route 59 east of Kent State University in Franklin Township, and then Massillon Road, Route 241 in Springfield Township. These actually, interestingly, were tied for first place last year. So they were at the top and they stayed at the top. Our number three project, MLK, which is basically as Perkins Street turns into the Interbelt, you know, just on the northern edge of downtown. I believe this was number one 2 years ago. It's kind of another one of those that's always at or near the top of the list. And then here's just a map of our high crash sections. Generally, these tend to be busier roads. You'll note we don't have any in our section of Wayne County or in the whole eastern half of Portage County. A lot, as you might expect, in our higher volume roadways within Akron, south of Akron, and kind of throughout the area, and the more urbanized parts of Portage County. Our intersections. Number one this year was 14 and 44 north of Ravenna. I think this was number two last year, so it's kind of been up near the top of the list. Our number three location is Route 18 at Medina Line Road, heading out toward Medina from Bath, Copley. That was number one last year, I believe. And then our number two location is in the National Park section of Cuyahoga Falls, Riverview and Iro Road. This also has been in the top 50 of our last two crash reports, but hung out in the 21, 28, I think, were the 2 years. So all kind of areas we're familiar with and that have scored highly recently, but these are our top three. And then, again, the map for this, a little bit more geographically spread out. You start to see some rural locations, out in like lower density areas where you might have two high speed roadways, things like that. Real quickly, just kind of wrapping up, a lot of the bicycle and pedestrian trends we've been seeing over the last several years are continuing. Like for the last several years, October is always our highest month for pedestrian crashes, and sure enough, that was true this year. We're seeing that these crashes tend to be quite severe. And if you add up the fatality number, 24 plus 3, that's 27 fatalities. That's a large percentage of our area's overall fatalities. So that's concerning and probably a good argument for the importance of complete streets and that sort of effort. Just a couple maps to wrap up showing bicycle crashes. Did a kind of an inset map of the Akron area, because so many of them, of course, are occurring in the urban core, Cuyahoga Falls, Stowe, Kent, Barberton, and Akron, areas that are built for pedestrians. And so we see those kind of throughout the area, but of course they're higher in those areas where you have higher populations and more people using the alternative modes. It's definitely the same thing with pedestrian crashes. The map looks relatively similar to what you just saw with the bicycles. And then finally, just wanted to mention, as always, I hope everybody is aware, if you ever have any questions about safety concerns, even if it's something that's not on this list or not on the High Injury Network, I would definitely encourage you to reach out to us. We'd be happy to sit down and talk with you about what we're seeing and what the trends are and all that kind of stuff. You could reach out to Curtis or me or Amy or Seth with any of this, and I just kind of wanted to conclude by thanking them. Both of them put a whole lot of hard work into this. Their contact info is below. But if you have any questions about this, I'd be more than happy to answer them. Yes?
Yeah. I had a question on if staff had an explanation for the relatively low point of fatalities in 2018, and then it went up from there.
Yeah, let me go back to
It's early.
So I think, and we saw this at a national level, and feel free to jump in too, Amy, if you, you might be able to give a better explanation, but I think what we found is that even on a national level, things kind of, if you went back further back, they kind of just kept going down, going down, going down, and then they really spiked during the pandemic. I mean, here, I guess maybe what you're asking, Joe, is why is it so low in 2018 compared to even 2019 or 2017? And for that, I don't have an answer. Dave, our former safety engineer, I don't know if you recall or, you know, it's kind of odd in a good way how low that was that year. But I don't know the answer to why it was low compared to the 2 years surrounding it. But generally, that
blend in enforcement data, is there?
What's that?
Is there enforcement data that could help explain some of these dips and rises?
Probably not at a large scale. That, yeah, I wouldn't think anything like that. You know, whether there were like targeted enforcement campaigns that cut down, I don't know the answer to that. It's a good question, though. I'm sure that could be part of it.
So we're, you have a question?
That question. Is there any way to ask ODOT, which of these ones in the high sections and high intersections are they working on? I mean, I think four of our top six intersections and sections are basically ODOT controlled. Are they doing anything for it?
Trying to think of, like, at least these top three, I'm not aware of any projects. I do know that, like, out in Deerfield, in southeastern Portage County, there's a project that a high crash location that ODOT has on their radar and is funding. Yeah, and you're right. Yeah, the project on 59, that is one of our funding applications for 2023. Kent and Franklin Township submitted that. So, and it, at least as the scoring criteria broke out,
even if we just took this document to ODOT, ask them to highlight the sections that they're working on.
Yeah.
That way we can, we as a group don't know what's actually going on.
Yeah, and we would likely be aware of certain things that are on their radar. Yeah, but go ahead and answer for Joe. I mean, that's...
So ODOT has their hotspot analysis, and they have their top list statewide. And so... last year, they actually, one of the tops of their list was 59 and Darton Rand in Akron. And they didn't split out any accidents, though, like we do. They just saw Darton Rand to 59, and they, like, all of those got lumped into one. So they actually were supposed to be doing improvements on that set of intersections. But they have like a hotspot analysis for statewide, and I don't believe that any of these showed up on their analysis. I do know that we do actually send, once we've cleaned and scrubbed all this data, Seth in our office actually sends it back down to ODOT, and they update TIMS with our data.
But to the larger point, Joe, I don't think there is any reason that we can't speak to Mr. Bruner or call Chad, provide them with the document, and at the district level just ask the question, what's going on with these?
This is
going
to go to the public, obviously. Copley Township or Bath Township can call me and say, what's going on State Route 18 over by Medina Line Road? I just don't want to keep saying, well, it's ODOT's problem, it's not mine.
Yeah.
I'd like to be able to say, there's a study or there's not a study or whatever it takes.
Yeah. And we will communicate that to them and get an answer, I'm sure. As quickly as possible to avoid your phone calls.
I would appreciate that.
Yeah.
Is there a motion approving the document as submitted, as presented?
So moved, Paradise.
Second.
Go
ahead. Second, the sheriff, Rittman.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Nays?
Okay, thank you.
We have the active transportation plan update, discussion only. Heather?
Good afternoon. Thank you. I hope you guys can hear me in here. This room seems a lot bigger, and there's a lot of you today. Attachment 5 discusses the update to the 2019 active transportation is requested. You will be receiving an email in the coming days with instructions for verifying and updating a web map of shared use path recommendations. This map of future projects will be included in our ATP recommendations. We're asking for those updates by February 16th. I can answer any questions you might have at this time. We just wanted to give you a heads up on that.
Thank you, Heather. Next item is the draft fiscal year 2025 transportation planning work. Heather Olson.
Attachment 5C is the draft fiscal year 2025 transportation planning work program and budget, which guides the work of the AMET staff from July 1st of this year to June 30th of 2025. Included in Attachment 5C is the draft local share, calculated to be $198,736. Invoices for those local shares will not be sent out until July. We are requesting approval of the final work program. In May. AMS staff requests a motion to allow us to submit this draft work program to ODOT for review. Can
you
answer any questions?
We have a motion.
So moved, Lisa.
Second, Moore.
All in favor, aye.
Aye. Aye.
Nays?
Thank you.
Okay. So we'll go into resolution 2024-01, approving projects to be funded under carbon reduction program. That'll be Amy.
Yes, I will be presenting resolution 24, 1, 2, 3, and 4, kind of all at once. I'll pause and we can pass each resolution as we get to it or answer any questions. So today we're hoping to pass the carbon reduction, resurfacing, TASA, and TASA supplemental selections. So TAC TIP met back in December and selected CRP, resurfacing, TASA, and TASA supplemental projects for funding. 4 CRP projects were selected, 20 resurfacing, 3 TASA, and all 6 TASA supplemental projects that were submitted are going to be listed. These are currently not funded projects. We are not looking for approval for funding for these. We are just looking for approval of the list to potentially fund them if money becomes available. So the 4 CRP projects that were selected were Killian Pickle Roundabout, Arlington Road Corridor, North Manway Street Improvements, and Worcester Hopkins Roundabout. And there was approximately $8 million in programming, and these are expected to be programmed in fiscal year 26 to 29. Can I get a motion to approve resolution 2024-01, and if there's any questions, I can answer those.
Tomasi, so moved.
Second.
All any questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Nays?
Okay. The subcommittee selected 20 resurfacing projects out of 42 resurfacing project applications, and that funding is approximately $15.3 million in fiscal year 28 and 29. I'm not going to read the entire list since there's 20 of them. If anyone has any questions, I'm welcome to answer them. But we thought that half the projects was a pretty good amount.
Is there a motion to accept the list?
So moved, Paradise.
Second, Moore.
Further discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Nays?
Aye.
We selected 3 TASA projects. It was the Headwaters Trail Phase 9, Stowe Summit Street Pedestrian Improvements, and River City Heritage Trail Phase 3. And we expect these to be funded in fiscal years 26 through 29.
We have a motion?
Hadley move approval.
Is there a second?
Move second.
Further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Nays?
And then TASA supplemental, there were six projects submitted to the TASA supplemental years, in fiscal years 25, 26, and 27. We did score these projects, but we also separated them by year that they would require their supplemental funding. And basically, the way this would work is if funding became available in the TASA program, we would go to the year of the funding that is available and go straight down the list, 1, 2, 3. Obviously, this is if funding becomes available for these projects. So we are requesting approval of the list so the staff could potentially use it in the future. Any questions?
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Costco, second.
Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Nay.
So if your project is selected and is on these lists, you'll be getting a notification letter with funding information and the year of funding. We ask that you submit the scoping forms to ODOT 45 days of receiving this notification. Please be sure to submit your project in the year that AMAS selected. We need to have those in those years for fiscal constraint going forward. And any projects that were approved for 26 and 27 will go into the TIP for amendment. Any questions?
Resolution 2024-05, approving the update, 24 update, federal functional classification. Seth?
Thank you. Federal functional classification is a grouping of roadways based on relative importance and function. Classifications are divided into rural and urban categories based upon a 2020 census data. Determining factors are mobility and access. Classification determines eligibility for federal funding. Funding eligible roadways consist of urban roadways classified as minor collector or higher, and rural roadways classified as major collector or higher. ODOT typically initiates an update of this federal functional classification once every 10 years. During this process, MPOs review and submit changes to ODOT. ODOT then submits these changes to Federal Highway for final review and approval. Between these cycles, MPOs can initiate the change submission and submit it to ODOT for approval, which is where we are today. In early 2022, AMAS began accepting requests for updates to the federal functional classification with a deadline of May 27th of 2022. AMAS either received or recommended 20 change requests. These requests and recommendations were reviewed by the TAC TIP during meetings in May and June of 2023. In November of 2023, ODOT Central Office confirmed that it would accept AMAS's change request for submission. Recommended changes include either adding or updating the following roadways classifications: Clinton Road in Clinton, Akron Peninsula Road in Cuyahoga Falls, the Lake Road, Park Street, Main Street, and Springfield Lake Drive Corridor within Lakeport, Newton Falls Road, New Milford Road, Mennonite Road, Chamberlain Road, and Diagonal Road in Portage County, Marsh Road in Stowe, Boston Mills Road, Akron Peninsula Road, Wheatley Road, Everett Road, and Highland Road in Summit County, Chamberlain Road in Twinsburg, Portage Street, Boyne Road, and Clinton Road in Lincoln County, and the removal of the following paper streets from current major collectors: Cyberling Way in Akron and Lobby Road Extension in Green. The limits of these changes are included in Attachment 6B in your packets. AMATS is seeking approval of Resolution 2024-05, approving the 2024 update of the AMATS Area Federal Functional Classification Pilot. Upon approval, these changes will be submitted through ODOT to the Federal Highway, and we hope to have a response within the calendar. Questions?
We have a motion approving.
excuse me, I have a question. To be eligible to be classified, does the road have to be in the urban cluster? Is that a prerequisite?
No, there's a differentiation between urban roadways and rural roadways. The classification for eligible for funding is determined whether or not there is the line for eligibility changes between urban and rural.
Thank you.
I'll make the motion.
Make a motion. Mm-hmm. Do we have a second?
Paradise second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Nays? No nays. Right. Resolution 2024-06, adopting AMAT's Area Coordinated Public Transit. Jeff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attachment 6C in your packet. The purpose of the coordinated plan is to improve transportation for the elderly and disabled in the area. Specifically, this plan is necessary for the area to obtain and utilize funds from the Federal Transit Administration's Elderly and Disabled Program. Eligible projects seeking to use these funds must be consistent with the area's coordinated plan. Our area currently receives about $800,000 in federal funds through this program. The development of the coordinated plan has been overseen by a steering committee consisting of AMAT, Metro, PARTA, and a number of the area's social service agencies. The coordinated plan identifies current transportation providers, assesses the needs of the elderly and disabled, provides recommendations to address the gaps between current services and unmet needs, and assigns priorities for implementation. The coordinated plan recommendations are listed in Attachment 6C, as well as in the draft coordinated plan, which is on the MS website right now. ODOT manages the annual application process with the participation of AMATs in the scoring of projects. The AMATs Policy Committee will approve all projects to be funded as part of each round of funding. In order to use elderly and disabled program funds in the area, it is necessary to adopt this coordinated plan. And are there any questions?
A motion is required. We have a motion.
All is moved to approve. Tomasi second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Nays? Passed. Curtis, is there old business?
There is no.
No old business. So our next meeting is scheduled for Thursday, March 21st at 1:30 here at the same location. And if you're on the sub-TAC committee, we're going to meet in about 15 minutes in the same room. And can we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved, Weasley.
Second, McCleary.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.